Welcome to tonight's meeting. This is a meeting of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. We have a lot of people online, which is great. First thing I want to do tonight is just do like a real quick roll. I'm going to call on like the current board members. And then we'll do a kind of alphabetic order by first name, kind of grouping. So my name is Paul Patchy the second. I am the current president of Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California.
Oh.
We are an affiliate of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of
Oh.
America and affiliate of the California Council of the Blind. And I want to thank the California Council of the Blind for hosting our meeting tonight, on the, as part of their pre-convention, activities. And also thank you to Rob for hosting tonight's meeting. And Rob is the second vice president of the California Council of the Blind. Just to give information for anyone that doesn't know who Rob is. So, go ahead and start with the roll. First vice president Tristan Kelly. I don't know if he's on yet. I'm
No.
not hearing him. Tristan. Okay. I'll move on. We'll come back to it. Next would be Treasurer Max Dorday. I'm not hearing Max either. Our current Secretary Joni Patchy.
I'm here.
And our current board member Sandy Bellani.
Tristan just checked in.
Okay, perfect.
Greetings.
Hello, Tristan. Hi, Tristan.
I know Sandy was on. Are you still on, Sandy?
He escaped.
Maybe she's muted.
Maybe. Okay. Anyhow, going from everyone else that's on the call then, when you introduce yourself, if you could say if you're a vendor or maybe you're, part of an organization or even like a board member of an organization, so we just know who's all on the call and things like that. So starting with the grouping of from A to G, if your first name starts with A to G.
Artis Bazin, and I'm second vice president of Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. Former vendor.
David Mandel, San Francisco chapter. I'm not a vendor, but I love the snacks you guys offer sometimes.
Anthony Cigarello, I'm president of the Glendale Burbank chapter. I'm here as a guest tonight.
Welcome.
Gabe Griffith, president of the California Council of the Blind, here is a gatecrasher tonight.
Inbox Johnny Patch 1 gram.
Good thing, okay.
Was that Paul?
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. We'll have to decide.
Oh, well, that's why I said gatecrasher, not guest.
Any others from A to G?
You
Hearing
say A
none.
to Z?
A
No.
to G.
Oh, C. I'm sorry. G
G.
is in
G.
George. Okay, G. Okay, I'm going deaf in my old age. Sorry about that.
No problem. Next grouping then would be H through O.
George Miranda.
I am a member.
What? Did you get any of those? I didn't.
I got Jeff, I got Jordan.
Nicolette Noy, San Francisco chapter, CCB.
Leslie Tom, member.
How
Larry
about
Zachary?
Gassman. Go ahead, you beat me by half a second. I'll get
Kevin
in.
Berkery.
Larry Gassman, president, Orange County chapter and CCB board member, and I am not a gatecrasher, Gabe.
Margie Donovan, member GSGDHI and CAAVL.
Naresh Balani, California vendor.
What?
Michael Davis, California vendor.
It's not time.
Any others from H to O?
Oh.
Jerry Gann, California vendor.
R. I have no R. Good. No.
Sandy Balani, California vendor.
Okay. All right, so the rest of the alphabet, so from Q and to Z.
Roger Hood, retired vendor.
Rex Ransom from the highest hill in El Segundo. National RSVA, and I'm a volunteer.
Steve Bauer. I'm not a vendor. I am on the CCB board and the board liaison to RSVC. So if you have any thing you want to talk to CCB about and you can't find Gabe, look me up.
Awesome.
Rob Turner, CCB second vice president, secretary of Kahlua, president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind.
All right. So I guess that's everyone then. Well, welcome.
Oh, I'm here too. Sorry, Paul. Sarah Harris, lots of hats. First Vice President of CCB as well as CCB Fresno Chapter President.
All right. Last not but not least, Tristan Kelly, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California Vice President.
All right, awesome. Well, welcome, everyone. So tonight, I wanted to talk about, and it's really crucial for our program here in California, is right now the current status of our program. The program has been affected by COVID dramatically. You know, more than 90% of our locations are operating at a very minimal capacity. You know, many vendors are making only a couple hundred dollars a month. You know, some of them cannot even make their, you know, pay their taxes and whatnot. So this program right now is in bad shape. And right now with the way the department's been interacting with the vendors, when I say the department, I'm talking about the BEP program, the staff that work for the Department of Rehabilitation. Right now, the thing that alerted a lot of vendors was just last week we had a meeting, which is called the Quality Location Develop Committee. In this meeting, we talk about all the different potential locations and whatnot for the location. To better the program, and there's a segment on this agenda every single month of new developments for new locations, and the department staff came back with having no report as far as developing new locations, and for the last year the staff haven't been able to fully staff the department. We've been down critical staff members, things that our department, you know, our program relies on, such positions as the location development officer and our training officer, which are both critical to the survival of our program. And we haven't been able to fill those positions for over a year now, as far as the department goes. And if we continue this pattern, our program won't be around for much longer. Just biding our time and not, you know, really getting involved. So tonight's meeting is really about trying to get more vendors involved to really better this program. Without doing that, you know, we're pretty much just, waiting for the end. So with that being said, there's a couple different areas that, you know, talking with different vendors that I think, you know, we need to focus in on. And one of them is getting new vendors and how we get new vendors without having a training officer involved. You know, the department won't hire them. And so we have to either find a way to train new vendors or other means. I know Tristan has an idea. I'm going to let him speak on that here. That way he can pitch his idea and then I can follow up with some more ideas. And then after that, I'll open up this part for anyone that might have ideas for us as vendors or even just ways of getting, you know, more help from different organizations, anything to help support the vendors to really get these critical things filled. So go ahead, Tristan, I'm going to let you speak on what you were speaking about earlier with me.
I apologize, Paul. I just answered another call, and I apologize. I missed what you had said right before this.
Okay. I was just basically talking about you know, the idea about how we're going to try and bring in new vendors and things. So I know you had an idea. I was going to let you speak on about your, you know, your opinion about how we can try and reach, you know, bring in new, you know, new vendors into the program while we don't have a training officer.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate the time, brother. So first off, greetings, everybody. Thank you for making the time to come to this, because that old John Mulaney joke says it's a lot easier to just do nothing. So I appreciate everybody making the time to come here. One of the things that we've been experiencing lately as a program, I apologize, I'm not that great of a public speaker. I'm just trying to be like Paul and work on a set. So we're currently in, from what I understand, a hiring freeze, quote unquote. I don't want to comment on that specifically. But we're not, we don't have a training officer. We haven't had a training officer in over a year. And we have a dwindling number of vendors here in California. We've had, from what I understand, about 18 or 19 vendors resign over the last 18 months. So one thing I was hoping that we could do as a program to bring an influx of new vendors is take down the bar a little bit. Right now, we have qualified vendors in California who have passed their on-the-job training, who have passed their prerequisite training, and they don't have an opportunity to go follow through with that and fulfill their dreams or fulfill their independence as we have. And there's no class offered because there's no teacher. So one thing that I would like to accomplish in this next quarter or the next two quarters is to petition the Department of Rehabilitation California to open the Business Enterprise Program in California to all eligible blind vendors who are DOR clients who have passed their three-panel BEP selection committee and who have passed their on-the-job training. I'd like to allow them an opportunity to challenge the six-part midterm test to become a vendor. That's something I'm very passionate about. And some of you people know me. I'm willing to argue until I'm out of breath over things I'm passionate about. And I feel that right now we're doing a tremendous disservice. My life is amazing, and my life is amazing solely because the Business Enterprise Program gave me an opportunity to invest in myself. And at this current time, we're disallowing qualified blind vendors of California the opportunity to invest in themselves. So I would like to petition this group to sign off on Paul and I as the president and vice president, sending a letter to the California Department of Rehabilitation requesting they open up the testing to all qualified vendors in California. That includes the prerequisites of OJT and blind and all the doctor qualifications you have to do. But at this point, if the teacher is the only thing standing in the way of vendors fulfilling their goals, fulfilling their life strategy from becoming independent, from leaving that pattern of being a burden to their families, we have to do something about it. We're obligated to as people. So we're going to, unless there's any strong opposition, we're going to request as the Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of California that they open the test up to all qualified blind vendor, all qualified blind clients that do a Department of Rehabilitation.
Thank you. So yeah, thanks, Tristan. And on part of that, we're also, you know, also thinking about we need to still try and get support from as many groups as possible, even going to legislators ourselves and really urging them to get a new training officer. And I also had, different conversations with other vendors, and, we kicked around the idea of, just developing a new training system where the vendors, train people as they come into the class. And that's just something that if we want to propose that to the department, we'd have to, really work on that proposal. So basically, anyone that has any ideas that could potentially help us or, things like that, anyone has a comment this time, that, feel free to jump in and open it up for anyone that, wants to at this point.
Paul, this is Artis. I'd like to make a motion that Paul go ahead and write a letter or a petition and allow people to sign it to send to the department asking for their action on this. And I guess any other steps that you deem important to take, whether it's a letter or whether it's a petition,
Thank you, Artis.
Okay. That's a motion. Is there a second to that motion then?
I'd be willing to second Artis's motion, Tristan Kelly.
Okay. Discussion, I guess, on that? Okay. Hearing none. So, I know we have a few members. So any of the members of the RSVC vote, our members and can vote tonight, please vote by single by aye for
aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Mentions? All right. So we'll go ahead and write that letter. Is there any other, ideas in that category as far as how to get new vendors involved or even attract new vendors to a program like this?
This is Jeff. Can I be in the queue?
Yep. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. So, Artis, I didn't hear your motion because our phone was acting up, but I don't think I question whether the department has the ability to do this except by the regulatory process, which, as we know, takes forever because they even have to get federal approval on top of the lengthy state process. I actually think that it would be much better to introduce at the beginning of next year a bill to do this, because I don't think the department is going to do it. But number two, I don't even think, even if they, sounded sympathetic toward it, they could do it in less than a very long period of time. Look how long it's taken them to, it took them to go through the last set of regulations. So I still don't know if they ever got them adopted.
Well, no, the motion was to have a petition to ask for the BEP to hire the training officer.
Oh, okay.
The other subject was, getting another training program. Yeah.
I believe Artis's petition, her motion was to petition the program to hire a training officer. I apologize.
Yeah, that they could do.
I was speaking in general about opening the program up to qualified vendors of California. But if Artis's motion really gets right to the head of the issue, and if they turn that down, then we can go down my avenue. But at this point, at this point, we all look silly if we don't do something about it. Because right now we have dozens and dozens of qualified blind people in California who are just being disallowed the opportunity to come into BEP.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, the most was for. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I agree.
So yeah, the motion was for to urge them to hire a new training officer. You know, obviously if that doesn't work, which you know it probably won't, it's a matter of you know then going through these other steps of going to like the legislature and things like that to try and change almost the regulatory how it works with the regulations and stuff, things like that. So you're correct, Jeff. You know, even if we try to change the training program, that would take a long time too, to where even the vendors are training the new people. So that is, you know, another step we'll have to consider down the line. But, you know, right now just laying out a good plan of action basically. So the other side of that coin basically that we need to also focus on is like new locations. And once again, you know, maybe that's another thing we have to urge the department on is hiring a new locations officer. Without new locations, we can't attract new vendors. You know, it's just the opposite side of the coin, basically. So, but there it's come down to almost where the vendors have to do the searching and trying to find new locations right now. And even when we do find new locations, they're not being investigated by the department. You know, they're not looking into them. They're not seeing to truly develop these locations and whatnot. So basically what it comes down to is asking. Sorry, one second.
If I may, I've been in this program just a few years over a decade. And in my experience, we just keep repeating the same ideas and repeating the same sentiment, and we never gain any traction. And I appreciate that you guys have been working on this a lot longer than I have and a lot longer than Paul has.
Yep.
But on the same note, the definition of crazy is trying the same thing several times with different results. We have to go down a new path if we expect to be kind of different.
This is Joni. I've been in the program for 39 years, and we need to look at new locations, not necessarily state buildings and stuff, because, you know, the governor doesn't want more people to come back in the state buildings. They're like ghost towns. There's nothing there nobody there to sell to. I mean, all of the people in the state buildings are going to be they are in a world of hurt. I mean, my locations are not there. There's nothing there. So we need to focus on maybe airports, maybe kiosks at the malls, maybe, you know, private locations that will let maybe like the arenas that have, that let different groups come and work at their place. Maybe they'd have one location for vendors that they could sell out of. I mean, there's other places, but we need to investigate those, because if we keep investigating the state locations, the governor doesn't want anybody back in the state buildings. He doesn't want many people back there. So what are we going to do with 25% of the people that we had before, if that?
Well, at that point, Joni, hi, Ma, by the way. I hope you're doing well. I miss you.
Thanks.
On that note, Ma, if we could, we don't have any first right on state buildings or malls or anything like that. And I love your goals. That's what I always appreciated about you, is your ambition level. But right now we need to focus on what
we don't have rights, but we could still go and say, hey, we have a really, we could be a real good part of what you do here, and consider it. Maybe they haven't considered looking into any BEP people being in their locations or at their kiosks. I think that we have to start thinking outside the box.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree.
But at this point, we don't have a first right, and it might be easier and behoove us a little bit more to attack things that we do have a first right for.
Well, sure. Yeah, if we can get somewhere with it. But I'm thinking we shouldn't discount these kinds of small donut shops somewhere. I don't know. We shouldn't discount this kind of location.
Yeah, I think that we need to probably even pursue both of them, you know, to
work
on once we have the priority on, but also maybe draft a letter, you know, from this organization that to, you know, DOR as well, stating that, you know, those vendors, you know, we're not afraid, you know, because the biggest thing with it comes down to like these private property deals is they're afraid that the vendors are not willing to pay back into them and things like that. You know, I had an opportunity at a nice little store when I had a different contract in Sacramento, but they were afraid to go after it because it was a private, you know, company that, you know, it wasn't a state-owned building. So we didn't have the rights there. So they were afraid to go after it because they didn't think I wanted to pay the rent for the place. But if it, you know, generated enough money, I would have paid the rent. So if we had a letter basically from that states that the vendors are willing to even pay back into these places that require rent or things like that to, you know, be able to go into them. It might open up the doors and save this program.
Like franchises. One time we dealt with franchises at training and they were talking about having like Subway. If you put $7,000 into Subway, you could have a franchise. Things like this that we maybe could do, but we need the state's help in trying to procure them.
Is there any other like feedback in as far as like you know, avenues to go for, you know, trying to get new locations? Any feedback from anyone?
Did we resolve Artis's motion?
For the new vendors?
I think we ought to have Artis. I would like to ask Artis if she'd amend her motion to ask for both a training officer and a quality locations staff person.
Okay,
because unless you do both.
Sure, sure. That I'd be willing to amend my motion to include both.
Yeah, we do need those.
Okay. So, Tristan, you were the second, or would you, is that the amendment okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So then we'll vote on that as an amendment into it. So all those in favor of the motion to, you know, write a letter urging the department to hire a new location development officer and a new training officer. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
I would like
to think it would be helpful to ask the California Council to write a letter too, as well. Do you think it would be?
Well, I was going to ask that too. If there was any, you know, other, you know, groups that could help support us by writing letters, you know, the California Council of the Blind or the Randall Shepherd Vendors of America, any group, you know, that's willing to support us, that would be very helpful. As vendors, we're not very many. You know, we're down to 60 something vendors here in California.
Sure, I'll mention it. We're having another board meeting for RSVA on Sunday, so I'll mention it.
I definitely would appreciate that.
So that motion passed. Is there any resolution on the idea of opening the training program up? Open the test to vendors that are qualified in California blind vendors that haven't passed the training program?
Well, I think right now we don't have a resolution on that because we'll do the letter first and see how that goes. And if not, then we'll have to, we can move forward with that, you know, that route, because it's going to take a lot of work. Like Jeff mentioned, there's a lot of regulatory things that are involved there.
And I appreciate that. Everybody's got protocols of the job. I got protocols of my job. But there's only so long we can beat our head against the wall before we develop CTE.
Yeah, I just think you need to go straight to the legislature on a lot of this. I mean, the program, let's face it, it is dying. There's no reason to beat around the bush.
Yeah.
And unless you get some kind of a real champion for this program with a little bit of clout, that's going to, you know, the department has treated it as a foster child even before the pandemic. So why would we expect things to get any better now?
True.
Yep.
That's true. I think we do need to take it to the legislature. I don't have any. I think that's the only way we're going to get anywhere.
Well, I mean, that could be our step to consider too. You know, while we're writing these letters, that doesn't mean we can't go to the legislature at the same time, and really start pitching this, because we do have to do everything we can at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they realize how, you know, how the pandemic affected. I mean, it took the last strength out of the program that there was, if there was any, it took everything out of it. I mean, that was, everybody lost, I mean, money and locations, and it's been pretty bad.
So getting back to what you were speaking on, Tristan, we're open to, you know, discussing that and making a motion on that potentially, as action going towards, you know, what we need to bring forward to the legislator.
Well, if appropriate, I would love to bring a motion to the table to petition the department to open the program up to all qualified blind vendors of California.
And have them challenge the exam.
Affirmative, ma'am.
And you would skip any OJT, or if they had OJT?
No, they still have to go through OJT. They still have to go through their three-panel blind vendor interview. It's right. Just we have to give them an avenue to just crack them available.
Yeah, I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Realistically, we're going to get maybe between 3 and 6 qualified vendors, and those 3 or 6 qualified vendors are going to be the cream of the crop. Because they took it upon themselves to find out what they needed to be successful in this program. We're not going to get run-of-the-millers. We're going to get cream of the crop with the couple people.
Well, that's good. I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that. There have been people to challenge the exam and pass it. So I think that I don't see why we couldn't do that. Why they couldn't. They could already do it now, actually. Because, I mean, people are allowed to do that. We just have to make sure they get their OJT. I'm willing to do some.
But let me ask, so Tristan, your motion is to petition the department, but would you rather not take that to the legislator? Because I think there would be regulation.
Full disclosure, I've been working with several assemblymen and senators about this specifically for over a year now. So we do have motions in the works, definitely. But you can get a great look at a T-bone steak by taking your head up a cow's ass, but it's probably a better idea to ask the butcher. The reason I say this is because if we can handle this at the DOR level, it'd be a lot.
I think we can. I think it's, yeah, I've seen it done. I mean, and I think we could.
Yeah, we can. Okay. You made that motion. So if there's a second to the motion to, you know, petition the department.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
Thank you, Ma. Huh.
You hear no discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Abstain. I abstain.
Okay, so we have one abstention.
Not because I disagree with it, just because I don't think you're going to get anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, noted.
A good place to start.
You know, unless you ask the pretty girl to dance, you never know if she's going to dance with you, brother.
Sometimes you do.
I'd rather take the risk.
Oh, it's no risk, because all they're going to do is potentially say yes or no, so that you have nothing to lose by doing
it. No, we don't. And except actually, I've seen it. Joe Murphy, he challenged the exam. He did it.
And I've been kicked out of much nicer places than this.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So with that, the other idea that, you know, I've talked to other vendors about too is that the potential of the, you know, with, and like it's been brought up too in this meeting, that, you know, the department hasn't really treated our program fairly. You know, the staff isn't really fighting to save our program. You know, there's no reason to, and it is a sinking ship. So, you know, one of the things that's been kicked around from different vendors is whether it's time to consider, you know, maybe looking at nominating agencies as well, to change up the management of the program. So I don't know if there's anyone that wants, you know, has any questions about that or any concerns about that. And, you know, I was hoping for more vendors on tonight's call to hear other people what they want would expect from that kind of route. But that's, you know, one thing we can petition too is, you know, trying to get the vendors involved to, you know, go with a different agency than DOR.
Doesn't the DOR have to approve that though?
They would have to approve it, yeah. That's why we'd have to involve all the vendors. You know, all the vendors would have to get involved and to really convince the DOR to approve that. And I don't think they wouldn't be too much against it, because it does cost them a lot of money to run the program. And we don't have a lot of vendors right now. And that's why they're not, you know, they're not able to justify to hire these new people.
And on the flip side of that coin, I don't know who would take us on, because we're not a very profitable organization right now.
That's very true.
They still lose a lot of federal funding. And this was brought up, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, and the department wanted nothing to do with it. And I don't see them. And plus, I don't think the union would be happy about it. There's also a state constitutional issue that comes into play that doesn't come into play in other states, about work that doesn't need work that can't be contracted out. So there's really a lot of issues. And there again, I say, unless the legislature is behind it, I don't think there's a chance that.
Yeah,
and this is an issue that's even more difficult, because, you know, even, you know, the state employee union, as I say, has a stake in this.
Yep, that's true.
Can a person who's not on the committee make a comment? This is Nikki.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I've always been a fighter and an advocate, and I mentioned this on a program the other day, that if we don't fight for it and ask for more than we think we're going to get, we're not going to get anything. So I would say, you know, let's get phone things going. Let's contact the people that need to be contacted. Let's barrage them with letters and phone calls and do demonstrations and, you know, do whatever we have to do to get ourselves out there and in the public, because I think that it's a very valuable product that we have to offer, and I think that we need to really fight and get as much support as we can. And if we don't succeed, well, at least we know we gave it a damn good effort. And I was around during the Vietnam War, and the demonstrations are what stopped it.
You're right, Nikki. American people stood up. Here's the problem, and I hate to be a pessimist, but I will. In the Vietnam War, you had millions of demonstrators. You have only a few thousand vendors in the whole country, and 60-something in California. And if you think we have a problem in getting anything in senior services with the lack of clout we have, we have a lot more advocacy power than the blind vendors do at the present time, because there's just so few of them. What the only thing, in my opinion, that could really pave the way for potential, you know, progress is somebody getting a real war chest of money together and putting together a serious public relations campaign with a lot of press and things like that. Nowadays, it takes money to really get advocacy underway. And I don't mean to be a pessimist about it, but that's unfortunately the way the world works.
And most of us lost all that in the pandemic.
That's right.
It's true.
Paul, if I may.
Yep.
I appreciate what you're saying, Jeff. And obviously, Jeff, you have a tremendous amount of experience. But at the end of the day, I'm a real basic guy. Keep it simple, stupid. That's my theory. If you don't ask the pretty girl to dance, well, you never find out if she was going to dance with you. And if we keep thinking the answer is going to be no, and we keep not asking these questions, the answer is going to always be no, and we're always going to be holding ourselves back as a group.
Correct. I don't disagree. But it takes a plan.
Yeah, to go to like the legislator, it's going to take a plan. It's going to be a lot of work.
We have to be on the same page, say the same things, and know what we're fighting for exactly.
That's why I think it's almost better to, you know, work on this letter and, you know, urge the department, but also at the same time work on it, you know, what we can, go to the legislator as much as possible to try and find a resolution as well at the same time, because the more we can get everything planned out, the better.
I mean, the legislature could overhaul the program completely if it wanted to.
Yeah, it could. It could infuse some money into it, especially now that Joe Biden's given, you know, some money away. Maybe we could, they could infuse some money into it, and it could, we could come out. I mean, that's a big if.
Actually, the legislature can't overhaul it completely because of federal law. What really needs to happen is we need to get together at the federal level and overhaul this program completely. Because if we don't, I don't see how in 30 years it's going to survive.
Oh, I know.
And frankly, Jeff, a lot of vendors aren't going to be here in 30 years. So they don't care.
That's
about
right. That is right. You are right.
So a lot of them. A lot of us have genetic conditions that came to us with birth. And, with a lot of these hereditary conditions, we have younger cousins or younger siblings with these same conditions that are looking down the same pipe hole that we were looking down several years ago. And maybe some of us are so detached from back then that we don't recall what it felt like looking down the pipe hole of being a burden to your family on an everyday basis. And this opportunity is one of a kind. It's a unique opportunity where motivated individuals can lift themselves up from being a burden on their families and provide to the community around them. And if we don't take these little shots with these baby steps and we keep trying to fix the whole doggone thing, well, we're never going to accomplish anything. I could tell you right now, if I'm looking at a whole dish, I could tell you the azabuka wasn't cooked right, and the pilaf wasn't piled right, and the carrots didn't have enough orange to them. But the thing is, we're blind. Did it taste good?
I would have agreed with you 20 years ago. I don't agree with you now.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, brother. But I'm 20 years behind. So I'm still motivated as the day is long. And I'm imploring us to take these baby steps. And I apologize if my voice keeps being spoken, maybe when other people aren't trying to hear it. But gosh darn it, I never believed in something so much as the blind people of California.
No, I totally agree with you. I think we have to write these letters and we have to take these steps. Now, as far as overhauling the whole program, I think if we tried to overhaul the federal program, I think there's the problem that some states are now having is there's multi groups of other disabilities that are trying to get into the program. I know Hawaii just had a defeat, a group that were trying to add other people with disabilities. And so trying to do it from the federal level, I'm not sure that that would be actually a positive thing in the long run. But I think these steps that we're taking for writing the letters and going to the legislature to move our program, the program forward, I think are doable. But we just need to have people willing to do it and step up and talk with legislators, et cetera.
Is there any more discussion on that right now?
And if I may, as the legislative chair of the California Vendor Policy Commission, I've been in ongoing meetings with Gavin Newsom's chief of staff, Ann O'Leary's office, with dozens and dozens of assemblymen and senators from around the state. And what I've found is universally, no elected position opposes blind programs. It's few and far between. Blind entities and blind programs seem to be the one thing everybody agrees on. We need to take that torch and run with it for as long as our legs will take us. We're obligated to the future generations. Thank you, Kristen, artists.
I got me so much lip service out of the leaders of this state with respect to senior services for blind people. I don't even want to hear any of that bullshit anymore.
No, I concur, Jeff. I mean, you're one of the smartest guys I ever met in my life. They got a lot more bullshit than quality words to say. But at this point, everybody's under a microscope, and you're being judged for do what you say and say what you do. It's we're not dealing with the legislative people we have in the past, where they give us the lip service and they screw us in the back door. Right now, we're dealing with people who actually care, and we're dealing with people who are actually under this social media microscope. They're being held accountable. And if we could take advantage of this, we stand to gain a tremendous amount.
This is Nikki.
I would like
to help. I'm not on your committee, but I wouldn't mind being on your committee and help in any way I can.
Well, awesome.
We need help. We accept that help. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah, any help that we can get, any organization, any person, every bit helps. Like we've been talking about the vendors in California. We have 60 something vendors at best, and that's not very much manpower.
Well, as they say, a single spark can start a prairie fire.
Yep.
That's true.
I think we have to try. And I hope we can get somewhere.
Paul's the redhead we need to start that spark.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. But definitely we'll definitely get to work on doing this process and going forward with it.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Thank you.
I think what needs to happen more than I think it's not only the training officer that needs to be hired, but it needs to be a much shorter, condensed methodology for getting new vendors, because man, it takes forever for a person to graduate and get his or her license and all of that. I think we need to push.
There's a lot of stuff to know,
but we did do it over.
I understand that, but these classes they come out with two or three people. I mean, how are you ever going to grow? How are you ever going to grow the number of vendors, even if you get programs for them to go to, if you don't have classes that are either shorter or five times bigger? One way or the other,
they got to be bigger.
Well, that goes back to how do we attract more potential vendors? Because right now we BEP doesn't look very attractive to a lot of blind people. There's a lot of people that refer to it as kind of a second rate kind of choice. It's not a positive thing to some blind people.
So and the council's not referring them either. That's another.
But when I moved to California 20 years ago, I was a vendor in Iowa. And when I contacted BEP, they wanted me to go through a program for 8 months in Sacramento after I'd been a vendor for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they I had one vendor said that I should, you know, challenge the system and try to get them to bypass it. But I chose not to. I chose just to start a different business instead. But I think they discourage more people than they try to push into the program.
I totally agree.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, one thing too is that, you know, with the training, it's no longer like 8 months or 6 months, but that was condensed down to about 3 months of class training and then some on-site training, you know, with vendors. So it was shortened a little bit, but not by a lot, no. So, you know, 3 months is still a long period to have to be, you know, away from your family or whatever to do all the classwork. But that was the best thing.
The classwork could be done online, I think. And the OJT, it does need to be done, especially with when you're having totally blind people who have never seen some of the stuff that you use, like who have never seen a register, who have never used one before. That takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. You have to have the OJT, no question.
No question about the OJT. The OJT, without the OJT, I learned 10 times more just filling vending machines with vendors in California than I ever learned in class. And I had great instruction. All I'm hoping to do by opening the door, by challenging the test, is there's going to be a half a dozen or less, guaranteed less, vendors that are so qualified and blind that they're going to breeze through the whole thing. Why do we... All I'm saying is, why do we have to hold these people by the toe? Let them spread their wings. And that's what we're hoping to do here. Our current CVPC chair, Harry Began, whether you like him or you don't like him, the guy had 40 years of hotel management experience. He didn't need to sit through a 6-month training course. He could have challenged the test right away and become a profitable tax-paying member of the Blind Vendors Program of California. And so we need to allow the opportunities for these elite, these truly elite blind people of California to not get pigeonholed by this bureaucratic test and this hiring freeze and whatever other BS the state wants to throw at them. We need to allow the truly gifted blind people of California an accelerated path to entrepreneurship, a path where they could really invest in themselves. Because at the end of the day, you can invest in yourselves or you could wait for people to invest in you. And some people, not too many, are going to conquer the world no matter what. Let's not delay their journey by a year.
Sounds right to me.
Yep. Works. I mean, that's
definitely... We all agree on that.
Like that. But I'm also still thinking if it's not prudent of us to maybe then recommend a different type of training system, you know, come up with devise a system that's different than what we do currently for training. You know, maybe we talk about online training, you know, doing just having even virtual classrooms where it's all like pre-recorded and things where they could have instruction still and maybe more time OJT with a vendor where they live in their hometown.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot. You get a lot more experience doing hands-on with vendors. You do learn a lot more that way than you do in the classroom.
We do much more.
What if the legislature told BEP that they needed to have a goal of increasing vending facilities by 5% a year for 10 years or something like that? I mean, I don't think unless you get somebody really pushing this, you know, I sounded pretty pessimistic and I am, but by the same token, if you got somebody to really push this program, the department would have to sit up and take notice, because right now they're not taking notice. And I don't think they're going to take notice until they really, the one thing that scares the department is the legislature. They don't like to be... They don't. They don't want to screw around with them. So if we got the legislature to, you know, somehow put a goal on them of increasing locations, they'd comply. You bet they would.
Yeah, they would.
That's a great idea, Jeff.
Actually, it is a good idea to, you know, work on a letter like that to have legislators, you know, sign off on maybe and send to DOR.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because that gives them an incentive to, you know, have to do it, to really do the work.
Because if these legislators who you say are, you're such good friends, and I don't mean to be snide, Tristan, about it, but I just been so cynical. I'm cynical. Then they should be willing to really fight for the program, not just let well enough alone, but really advance the program. And I say, put their money where their mouth is, you know?
Would that be something we could write a resolution on and I'll have it sent to both houses?
We could do, yes, absolutely we could. To increase we've asked the department many times, but we've never asked the legislature to, you know, require them to increase locations and to increase the number of new licensed vendors.
Licensees, yeah.
Yeah, to make
I'd like to make a motion we do that.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any more discussion about it?
It's a great idea.
I think it's a good idea, definitely, you know, to put a goal there for them to have so many, you know, increase so many locations and even have so many students, you know. You reach out to so many different clients, basically, at least something like that. Yeah. So all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? All right. That passes. So that's one thing we'll definitely start working on. So would it be better than to make that into a resolution then down the road? To make it even stronger?
Yeah, we'll probably want to do that in for next convention and then try to introduce it in a year, because the second year is hard to get too much passed anyway, so we want to have it ready for 2023. I mean, unfortunately, things aren't going to happen fast, but...
Mm-hmm.
You think it's too late to move anything forward before that?
Well, I mean, we could see the lay of the land for next year. We wouldn't be able to introduce it. We wouldn't be able to CCB with it, but we could. We don't need a resolution to, you know, try to get legislation. We could see if, you know, I mean, I'd like to see honestly where, you know, some of the folks that you've been talking to, Tristan, at what they really feel about the program, whether we have any kind of a shot to, you know, open this thing up for legislative action in the next year or two. I really don't know. I mean, you know, you've had the discussions. I haven't. So, you know, maybe there's a chance.
I apologize. Did you ask me a question?
I just said I'd really like to, I'm interested in knowing, you know, the tenor of these discussions that you have had with, you know, some of these legislative leaders and staff people in terms of just knowing whether there's really a chance of getting somewhere with the legislature in terms of the program. It interests me. I'm not saying you should go into it all right now. I'm just saying it's an interesting thing we need to follow up on.
I'll give you a call on Friday if you're available, Jeff. I would love to discuss it with you, man. I love your brain, and I would love to bounce these things off you, but I've had some really positive discussions.
After the convention's over, sometime next week, let's do it.
That would be fantastic, Jeff.
Awesome. All right. So I don't know if there's any other ideas of things that we need to focus on as a group. Yeah, that's basically all I had for tonight's agenda. I don't know if there's anything else that anyone else. Any other ideas, you know, like Jeff just brought up, that was a great idea. Definitely. So any other?
I think we've really accomplished a lot. If we follow through on all these, on everything here, I think we will have accomplished quite a bit.
good. Good thing.
All right. I think, and I know I'm going to make some enemies over this, but I will do it. No, not in this group. The Blind Advisory Committee passed a motion a few years ago when I was still on it, so it must have been like 5 years back now, that it would not, and the department has honored that, that basically said there would be no more micro markets other than the pilot one that Debbie had. And I think with the pandemic that maybe whoever the representative, I don't know, who is the BEP's representative on the Blind Advisory Committee these days?
It's Sandy.
Is it Sandy? Yes. I think that motion needs to be revisited because...
Jeff, I can let you know what happened with that. The Blind Advisory Committee did approve the micro market.
Yeah, because you got a new kiosk.
Yes, they got the kiosk at our meeting, and they demonstrated the whole kiosk. We had it at our training convention, and then they brought it to our blind advisory meeting also, and then the committee approved it. So we are ready to open up micro markets here in California.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
They're working on mine right now, actually.
Yeah.
Super. Glad to hear it.
Yes. Thank you.
If I may add, Sandy Bellani looks smoking gorgeous in her profile pic right here.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were blind.
You can't miss a beauty like that, Sandy.
I thought you were blind.
He's just a magnifier.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, Tristan, for the compliment.
So is there any other areas that we need to discuss tonight? Anyone have any other opinions or... things like that.
When you get done with your business, I wanted to talk about some RSVA things coming up.
Yeah, absolutely, Artis. You can have the floor. There's no other discussion. I'm not hearing any, so go for it.
Okay. Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America is at the summer ACB convention. We're having several activities. On Friday night, July 17, they're having a networking event, a Zoom call, so everybody can chat, and they'll do some games and stuff like that. And then on July 17, on Saturday afternoon, well, it'll be morning our time because everything is Eastern time. We start at 1 o'clock and go until... I think the last session gets done at 6:45, so that would be 10 our time until 3:45. There's four different sessions. The first one is Dr. Bill Tekashia, if that's how you pronounce it, is going to give an inspirational talk on navigating the challenges of how he was a eye doctor, and he lost his vision and then continued in his career even after he lost vision. And then the second one is going to be on the RSA 15 and how states can better utilize that and in promoting their program. Then the third session is going to, Jeff's going to be on the third session. It's going to be on legislative and legal updates. Legal cases, and they're also on that is also going to be a section talking about some of the funding that is coming from the federal government that could help vendors. That is, and how they're going to decide how vendors are going to get that funding. And then the fourth session is going to be on how to get more vendors into the program besides the currently it's mostly white males, and how to get more others into the program. And so that'll be a panel of vendors. Debbie Peart is going to be on that panel. She's going to be one of the vendors on that panel. And then elections will be on Sunday. And then in October, we're planning a Rendell Shepherd mini conference in conjunction with the New York ACB affiliate. And that's going to be an in-person one in Buffalo, New York. So that'll be October 13th through the 16th. And pretty much all we've said is we know the hotel and the dates, but we haven't done any of the programming for that one yet. And then, of course, next year, Sagebrush is going to be Valentine's Week in February, and that'll be in person. And that'll be virtual and in person, and so will the one in October. So anyway, that's what's on the RSVA agenda.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Any other announcements or anything? I know we're scheduled to go to 9:30, but I don't think we need to keep everyone that late.
Well, I'd be curious. I'd be curious to how each of the vendors on the call is faring with their particular operations and how things have been going. I know I talked to Debbie for a while. I know she said she's down to just three employees where she had before she had as many as 30. And she was telling me about her. But I really don't know how most of the other vendors are faring. So if you're willing to share, I'd be interested in hearing.
Yeah, definitely could. We can open up for that kind of discussion if anyone's willing to share.
Narish, yeah. You want to start? Joni, you want to start?
Sure. Okay, so I had two snack bars going and a hot dog cart before the pandemic. And now I have nine vending machines. And now I have nine vending machines, and they do in gross sales, they might do $300, $400 a week. So, but because you have to have such a variety of products, I don't usually make much money. Usually we get into the negative. So that's pretty much where we're at. And I'm using unemployment monies to try to keep my inventory up. So I lost about $12,000 in inventory, plus both snack bars, and there's not enough people in the building to do anything right now. That's where I'm at.
Thanks for sharing. Sandy, how are you doing?
Artists, I'm doing okay. I have one federal building that's been closed since last year in March. And I tried to open in between, you know, for 4 hours a day to see, you know, how things were going. I literally lost a lot of money because of the labor cost. And I've started opening again right now about a couple weeks ago. I'm still losing money because there's no one in the building. You know, they're saying that there's going to be a lot of jurors coming in, and but I haven't seen any. Definitely, I had a meeting with my building manager last week, and they said, you know, it's only 5% of the individuals will be returning to work. So I don't know how we're going to survive. And then I have another location in the county building. I had two, and I closed one with limited hours with just one employee. So, you know, pay too much labor. But literally in California, the labor cost is very, very high for us to survive. So I guess we just have to wait and see what's going to happen. And like Joni said, she's been using unemployment money. I've been doing the same thing, you know, just to keep the inventory going and just to.
Right. You know, I know there's lots of loans out there, but there's, you know, if we had hired our employees back, we still wouldn't have made any money. And how would we pay a loan back? I'm not sure. So I won't take out a loan. The only thing I can go for are any grants that come out.
Yeah. Well, the PPE loans, most of the ones everyone I've talked to that have gotten the PPE loans for payroll, they have not had to pay them back.
No, but we wouldn't have enough business to even make enough to pay. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're literally losing money, you know, because you don't have enough business to support that. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, so that's the current status of my location right now. So, and of course, the prisons are still closed. Like brother and Ricardo, and there's a lot of other individuals. You know, they've just been without a location for more than a year now.
Right.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Ricardo?
Hi, Ricardo.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, Ricardo, hi, everybody. You can go ahead.
Go ahead, Ricardo. Yes. Hey, I have a state prison, and we've been closed since March 8th to March 9th of 20. I want to say we have zero sales.
Ricardo, you have Fox News on.
Ricardo, is that your television?
No.
Oh, somebody's television is on.
Mm-hmm. You've got Fox News on the background there, Ricardo.
Let me try to find out who it is.
It's not me, sir.
Oh, now it stopped.
Okay, go ahead, Ricardo.
Oh, anyway, like I was saying, we're down to negative by the time we factor in costs of doing operations. We make anywhere from $600 to $800 a month gross sales total, if we're lucky. But that puts us in a negative in terms of operating costs.
Mm-hmm.
And but like everyone knows, the state prisons may come back, may not come back. We don't really know. If they come back to 100%, which nobody knows what would be good, but if we come back to 25%, 50%, nobody knows.
Thanks.
Any questions?
No.
Am I happy?
Probably not.
Ricardo, are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy.
You can only be happy when the sun comes out.
Are you happy because you're so goddamn good looking?
I'm not possible, but I'm happy though. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael Davis.
Go ahead, Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. So I have my primary location's in San Diego at the Veterans Administration building. And my customer started actually talking about working from home back in December of 2019. So I stopped purchasing inventory because I didn't want to be stuck with a lot of product. And I only lost maybe $800 worth of product. And they started bringing people because it's a clinic. The VA clinic, so they started bringing patients back. So I reopened back in October, and I was only making gross sales of $250, and my break-even point was $300. So I ended up closing in November, and I have a vending machine there that's making about $300 a month. And it seems like it's increasing each month, and I also took over a Sacramento courthouse as an interim, and right now it's not making money, but the gross sales keep increasing each month, and I've been open since February 9th. Okay.
That's good.
That's,
Michael. At least it's increased. Thank you. Good.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
We should have some of those robots that deliver the product to everybody's home that needs it from the state.
They're working at home. All I got to do is have it delivered to them, right?
Right. Yeah, you can start something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we start getting too many robots, guys, then there's not going to be a need for us to fill machines no more. So let's not get too much technology.
It'd be our robots that filled our machines. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple of robots that work for me, but they demand hourly wages, and sometimes their back hurts.
Yep.
How's your place, Tristan?
Well, artist, I'm in a unique position. Thank you for asking. By the way, thank you for showing up video, because the best part of my day has been looking at your beautiful face so far. I digress. You get me distracted, artist. I apologize. I'm in a unique opportunity or a unique position here where I had been operating a couple roadside rests and courthouses, as well as a state penitentiary. And the penitentiary was the anchor of my establishment. And Mr. Newsom, our beloved governor, had issued an executive decree to permanently close my prison. My prison's permanently closing this summer. So I'm not experiencing some of the plight that a lot of vendors are. The roadsides were terrible. There was no money to be made. I was losing anywhere from, I think, since COVID started, the least I've lost in a month is $1,000, and the most I've lost in a month is $9,000. So it's been pretty hard. But luckily, we were given the PPP loan, so I was able to keep my people on. I think, as most of you, I'm the same. Our people are our most important thing. I'd be willing to not eat as long as my people got to eat. So that's been tremendous hardship for us. I've acquired several interns because I'm more ambitious than anybody else, but because vendors are resigning and vendors are passing away, and vendors are leaving the program for greener pastures in Michigan, in South Dakota, in Iowa. We've lost as a program almost 20 vendors since this program started, or since this pandemic started. And these vendors are leaving historically profitable primary locations, and we're issuing those as interim locations. We're issuing them twice, and then nobody bids on them twice, and we're sending them over to the vending machine unit, or sending them to waivers. Right now, we're in really dire straits. Of the last 10 announcements issued, we had no parties that were willing to bid on 7 of those last 10 announcements. So we're in real dire straits. I know people are growing broke, and in general, most of us have been blind our whole lives. So we're really good hearted, and we're really good at making jokes out of a shitty situation. Pardon my language, but it's super duper bad, you guys. And I don't know a single vendor that's not wondering if they're going to be in business in 5 months.
Yep. Absolutely. So throughout the entire program that way.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'd say I'm faring differently than everyone. I'm one of the few people that remained pretty much operational. There was a drop in sales, but because I have a post office, and the post office were considered central the entire time, my contract didn't waver too much. They were always working. But, like with my contract, it's also unique because there's also a private company in there now operating the cafeteria, which is, taking the profit away from me. But as far as, operational and feeling the true impact of COVID, it hasn't impacted me too much to the point where I feel like, I can still operate. I'm still in the black as far as that goes. But I still feel the impact of the program failing. Because if the program fails, I lose my job too. So it's definitely a weird situation. I'm one of about 6 vendors who weren't really impacted too much by it.
Yeah, I just really think that, and I know what Art has said about Hawaii, you know, because they tried to overhaul their statute, they ended up with, you know, the possibility of other disabilities, you know, in this case, both people with mental illness getting a piece of their action. But I really think that we've reached the tipping point with this program. We were heading this way for the last 20 years or more, 30 years maybe. But now, because of the pandemic, if this program at a national level doesn't completely change so that it is essentially going to, you know, utilize the private sector as much as the public sector, the program just isn't going to make it, because, you know, we're not going to return to the way things used to be. It's too costly for government to operate that way. And so either we get a different model for the program, or there's just going to be a few people with great locations and nobody else is going to be involved at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
It's just going to be a couple of us looking at each other like, oh, you're still here?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I think nationally, RSVA and these other folks, the NFB folks, you got to take some risks, you know, and you might as well take them sooner than later and get yourself a program together and try to work with, you know, a friendly administration rather than waiting and have more competition from other people. I don't know. I'm maybe a voice in the wilderness, but.
No, I understand where you're coming from. Definitely, you know, we have to get involved in every aspect right now. It's critical.
Yep. And it has to be, the department has to somehow know that they got to think outside the box as far as locations go. Because we're not going to have locations within the state.
I apologize if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. That's typically the case.
Would it be appropriate for us to... We're in a unique position where we've had the same program manager for, I don't know, 7-8 years, something like that. And we just got a new program manager. Would it behoove us, and I'm asking, would it behoove us to ask Mr. Burr what his vision of this program is for 5 years or 10 years down the road? Maybe that would give us some direction in what we're trying to accomplish.
I think before we ask that question, we have to give him time to formulate it. Like, say to him, we would like to, in 3 months, we would like to know what your vision is for the program. But I think to give him time to think through.
Why does he need time to think through? David's a smart guy. He knows the program extremely well.
Yeah, he does. He does. But do we know what he's been thinking about? Like, has he been thinking about different? Maybe. Because things
David,
have been all
David, David thinks a lot. Now, I don't, you know, he, you know, the degree to which he's going to be able to do things, you know, because of those above him is another matter. But in terms of David, you know, thinking about the future of the program, you know, he's.
He does. Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, we could ask.
That might assist us in formulating our questions to them or our direction as a group. It would be redundant for us to beat down David's door about something that was his number two goal, or it would not benefit us to beat down David's door about something that's just flat out not on his radar, and we're not going to put it on his radar. So if we could, I apologize. Obviously, I'm not a very good talker. I totally acknowledge that. But if there was a way that we could direct our concerns down the path that he's already traveling, maybe we could knock out some of the no-brainers, some of the easy does it's off tops, and then we could start talking about the more challenging things.
God, yeah.
I think David is the type of guy who, if he can do something, will get it done. I know I'm usually pessimistic, but I really think that he wants the best for this program. He is more of an advocate, and he's got advocacy in his background, and you know, he's as hamstrung as any department official is going to be, but I think you're onto something, Tristan. I think it's be a good thing for a couple of people to just sit down with him and, you know, totally off the record sort of thing, say, what do you think? You know, where should we go? What, you know,
what can we help with?
Yeah. And then battle, because you're going to have to battle him at some point, because that's always the way it is. But yeah, have that conversation. I think it's a great thing.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that, because I think, you know, that's a good idea. You know, I've been thinking about that for a while now, is just, you know, sitting down with David and discussing these things with him, you know, in just a private, off the record type thing.
Yeah. And saying, how can we, what can we do to help? What can we do to further these goals?
Joni, you're the most likable person on the call. Are you willing to take that flag?
Am I willing to do what?
You're the most likable person on this call. Are you willing to reach out to the program with David? I mean, I'm not that likable, and Paul's a pretty likable guy, but sometimes he's rough around the edges. You're just pretty around all edges. Any way you want to take it.
I see. You mean to talk to David? I think it's best if we have someone who's not likable and someone who is likable. I
think we need a couple. Good cop, bad cop.
Yep. I love and David.
If you're going to have the conversation, have a message, a shared message that you're going to convey, have specific talking points that you want to.
We're going
to
discuss it with you first, Jeff, and we'll figure that out.
Not with me. I don't know. You guys know the program way better than I ever will.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to be on the same page, and you want to be in sync with one another. I do think it's better to have a couple people do it.
I do too, because if I do it, you know, I won't challenge as much as you guys might. But if you do it, you'll challenge too much, and then David won't want to talk to you.
What, have you talked to me before, Joni?
I know how to be diplomatic and still get my point across.
maybe we just get the two patches to do it. We get handsome Paul and beautiful Ma to do it, because I'll tell you right now.
We could do that, but we might want to throw a Tristan there to, you know, for the bad cop part.
Oh.
I resemble that.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that with maybe Tristan and Mom.
Yeah.
Good plan.